Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, as we head into Restorative Justice Week, we'll define for you what restorative justice is and hear from the speaker of a great TED Talk on the subject, Shannon Silva, as well as Eau Claire County's new Restorative Justice Coordinator, Dana Brown. That's all ahead in the next 15 minutes on Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGL Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for being with us. From the outset, let's define restorative justice. Heading into Restorative Justice Week, for that we turn to Shannon Silva. She gave a wonderful TED Talk on the subject in Denver in June of 2019. The talk titled, How Restorative Justice Could End Mass Incarceration. So what is restorative justice, Shannon?
Some people say it's the most common approach to justice across the world and throughout time, but that somewhere along the way, we forgot how to do it. It's a philosophy that says getting justice means repairing harm. And in restorative justice, repairing harm happens through face-to-face dialogues between the people harmed and the people responsible.
Eau Claire County Restorative Justice Coordinator Dana Brown agrees.
Restorative justice isn't a replacement for the criminal justice system. It's not.
Eau Claire County Restorative Justice Coordinator Dana Brown agrees, saying,
Restorative justice isn't a replacement for the criminal justice system. It's not. But what it is, it involves all the stakeholders.
As committed a backer of restorative justice as Shannon Silva is, to the point she gave a TED Talk on the subject and has been very involved, she agrees with Dana that it's not a replacement for the criminal justice system entirely.
I am not saying that restorative justice is the answer to every criminal case or all the complex problems with the criminal justice system. And I want to be clear that victims should always have a choice about if and when they meet someone that harmed them. But what I am saying is that this is a transformative approach that can be used far more often than we may believe.
Eau Claire County Restorative Justice Coordinator Dana Brown says,
and what we try to do is we try to restore the harm that was committed by the crime. And with that is we try to involve all the stakeholders involved, because restorative justice is repairing the harm that was done.
So let's get practical. And Dana Brown, Eau Claire County's Restorative Justice Coordinator, does that for us with an example in a situation that had to do with mailbox baseball.
We had a particular case. There was probably, I think, seven guys, high school guys, were involved with it, and probably about 14 victims, 10 of which were involved. And so what happened with that process is you talk to the guys and just see, hey, what was going on? You know, because it was about a 2-week period. What's this, you know, the excitement, all this stuff. They talked about doing it. Well, then we talk with the victims as well and work through their different circumstances. And the first thing that comes to mind is one of the houses had an autistic daughter, 12 years old, and just got to the point where they could kind of go to the store and come back, you know, leave for a few minutes and come back where she wasn't, you know, losing control and getting upset. And that was huge for a 12, 13-year-old autistic girl. Well, then this happens to their mailbox. They wake up and it's shattered all over the yard. Well, then that totally diverted her almost a year back, where she couldn't be alone, whatever. She was just back to just freaking out again. And so that's one story of what happened. Another was the elderly couple that now all of a sudden they wake up and they didn't feel safe at all. It totally changed what they did, their existence. And getting, that's another different couple, a middle-aged couple that just moved here 2 years ago. The father lived here most of his life. He moved back because this was a safe neighborhood. They were considering leaving after this because it just totally shattered that idea.
You introduced the offender with this, and then it seems like you're trying to, for one thing at least, trying to build some empathy into the offenders, and especially if they're juveniles, because I'm thinking of something my friends and I did one particular night years ago, and we had a brush with the law in high school, so many moons, 40 years ago. But the fact of the matter is that, you get empathy is so vital, right?
Oh, huge. Yeah. Empathy is at the baseline of what we do, because you can go through our criminal justice and convicted of the crime and go on with life and not think of anything as far as empathy for the people you harmed. And that's what this process does. And with that group, there's seven high schools. By the time the autistic daughter wanted to talk, the parents wanted to, they shared what their side of the story. The elderly couple did, and the other couple did. And by the time they're done, there wasn't a dry eye on the side of the offenders because it became personal to them. Right. And that's what restorative justice does. The offense becomes personal because that's where it's at. The crimes that committed, no matter what level crime it is, even battery and sexual assault, I've seen it happen there too. That's really difficult to get the offender and the victim together. But I've seen the effects of it, and it will just change the offenders. And our goal is not reducing recidivism. It's oftentimes the positive impact of it, yes, but that's not our goal. The goal is repairing the harm for the victims and the community, because the community has an aspect in it as well. And that's kind of why I'm here too, is community has to be involved in restoring, helping to restore things for both the victim and the offender. Because oftentimes with the victim, the community doesn't respond to the victims very well either, because they don't know.
Well, the goal may not be reducing recidivism, and considering our current criminal justice system, recidivism anywhere from 50 to 70%. I've heard it even over 80% in some instances. But Shannon Silva points out in one Colorado study how low it's been when it's involved with restorative justice.
And studies of Colorado's diversion programs show that 95% of both victims and offenders are satisfied with the process, and that offenders have a recidivism rate of just 8%.
8%. Imagine that. 8%, under 10% recidivism. I understand that's not the goal, but wow. Wow. Again, Dana Brown's only been on the job full-time as Eau Claire County's restorative justice coordinator for 5 weeks, but not surprisingly, he says no 2 days are alike.
Like just yesterday, I got a call from juvenile justice intake regarding a female, and we kind of flow with that. What happens is the typical day is we get referrals in either by phone, by a referral, actual official referral, and we have to respond to that fairly quickly. And by respond to that, what I mean is reach out. If there's a victim, we reach out to the victim first, see if there's some things that we can do. But even prior to that, we reach out to the offender to make sure the offender is appropriate. We have an intake of the offender to make sure the offender's appropriate, taking accountability for their actions and that type of thing. And then we reach out to the victim and try to set up that arrangement. So we do accountability workshops. We do accountability mentoring and that type of thing. So there's a lot of things that go into play. As a coordinator, I've got to wear a lot of different hats in that process, is setting up the conferencing for one. That's probably number one. Doing the workshops as well, and meeting with the offenders and the victims to work with them to really be able to sit down in front of each other. So sometimes some that could normally go through the criminal justice process doesn't even go there, because we deal with it in the restorative process as well.
Uh-huh.
So that, I mean, you know, a typical day we don't have, but with going into Restorative Justice Week, now we can talk more about that.
What are your goals for the week? What do you
want to do is just make more people aware of restorative justice here locally. Internationally, the Prison Fellowship International is a well-known organization that uses restorative practices all across the world. But here in the Chippewa Valley, we have restorative justice practices that our services are available at any level: a parent, offender, victim, law enforcement, the judicial system. It doesn't matter. So this week, I'm just trying to bring some awareness that it's happening, but also, we as an organization are volunteer based. As a coordinator, I can't do everything that's needs to be done. And the volunteers can be involved at any level, really. We have accountability workshops that's oftentimes a victim either doesn't want to or isn't available to meet with the offender. So we work through kind of an accountability process with the offender to come to grips. And one of the key things with that is it's not like here's your brain on drugs, frying in the fry pan type discussion. You shouldn't use drugs. The restorative process, and we do have AODA workshops, restorative based. What the process of this is more giving the information about what happened in your crime and that type of thing, having the offender talk through it in their own words and that type of thing. And through that process, they make their own choices, you know, and we are never in a position where you say, well, you shouldn't have done that crime. Well, they know that, okay? But it gets back to, okay, this is how the things went down in your brain. This is how you made the decisions to get you where you're going. And the whole basis, a lot of my discussion with the offenders is there really is no accident. Oftentimes they say, wow, I didn't mean to do that. Well, again, getting back to the basis of it, there's really no accident except the act of God that, you know, the weather or whatever, is you made decisions to be where you were and to do what you did. It's just a process to get you there. And that's what that accountability workshop is. So the volunteers oftentimes can get involved with those workshops. But where the number one need is what's called accountability mentoring. It's different than a standard mentoring, just go, you know, taking a week and playing basketball with a kid or that type of thing. And that's all great. Accountability mentoring, what it does after our workshops or even the victim offender conference, there are some goals that the offender has identified as some goals that they have for themselves. An accountability mentor is over a process of time, usually about a year, but it can be less as well. Once a week, you just check in with this kid and kind of work through, you know, here's your goals. How's this going? And just kind of talk through that and really kind of get to be a one-on-one with them about what they did and what they're learning from it. Because it doesn't just happen overnight where you have a workshop and then boom, okay, their thought process has changed. It's a process, and we try to continue that on. Oftentimes, our impact with the restorative justice process is only just one shot, but we try to keep that ongoing with them, and that's where the volunteers come into play.
And finally, what type of time commitment is Dana Brown looking for from folks who may be willing to volunteer to serve as mentors in Eau Claire County's restorative justice program?
It's one of those things that it's really up to the volunteer because we can
an hour a week.
Yep, hour a week is great. I mean
So you'd meet with your mentee.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far
do
as
the, what? What do you do?
And what you're going to do is of course develop rapport. You know, that's going to be the biggest thing is you develop with the rapport. They're going to see a real person that cares about them. You know, and then with that rapport, you work through kind of the accountability goals that they have, and just see how they're doing with that. And there's training that we do for that specific for the accountability goals. But it's really oftentimes the volunteers have 90% of what they need coming through the door. All we do is just educate them in the accountability process of doing what they do. And most volunteers that we deal with, you know, just having the heart and the care for a young person or a young adult is probably the predominantly ones we deal with is juveniles and then young adults. Young adults, you know, in their 20s, oftentimes we think, wow, they don't need a mentor. Well, not in the sense of, you know, like a big brother or big sister, no. But they need somebody to walk alongside them. And that's really the basis of it, walking alongside them to say, hey, I struggled with stuff. You know, I turned out okay, but I had to make some different choices. And that's just being real with them because nobody's got it all together. And biblically, we know that. So just working through that process with the kid or young adult. That's really what it comes down to. And even that's the basis of accountability workshops, too.
Our thanks to Dana Brown, the brand new Eau Claire County Restorative Justice Coordinator, for bringing to our attention that this coming week is Restorative Justice Week. 5 weeks on the job. We wish him the best. They couldn't have anybody better for that new position. Also, thanks to Shannon Silva. Please watch her TED Talk from June of last year in Denver, titled How Restorative Justice Could End Mass Incarceration. I posted it on my personal Facebook page over the weekend. It's certainly worth taking 15 minutes to look at. The preceding a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGL Radio. Catch the podcast at WWIB.com under Chippewa Valley This Week. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.